Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform life.
Good morning, church. Time flies, huh? Last time I stood here was on 20th September 2020. That was 2.5 years ago during COVID. Since then, right, I think so many things have changed. I just pray that we all have been growing in faith and to be more like Jesus after this COVID-19 pandemic. Okay, today, I just want to do something differently. And I need you to interact with me when I preach. And you will play the role of the crowd. Play the role of the crowd, okay? And now I would like to invite Jeremy, Ben and Matthew to be on the stage to do a small role play. Okay? Don't go to the Bible yet. When we do this interactively, right, you will be able to understand the text and the context better. Yeah. I think this one. Okay. Let me give you the setting first, okay? So, assuming you are living in the time of Jesus, you and the Jewish community are living under the oppressive Roman government. Okay? You are required to pay tax to the government, or otherwise you will be punished. Okay? But sometimes the tax collectors might ask you for more than what you are supposed to pay. Under duress, some of you considered and paid the tax collector. Yet deep down, you despise them. And sometimes you just don't understand. Why are you paying the oppressor to oppress you? So there's a context that you're the crowd. I need you to understand. Okay? Even though it's just 5 verses, like it's so difficult, you know, these passages. Really very difficult. So now I will pass the time to Jeremy. So assuming Jeremy and Matthew, right? Remember their role later, I won't give an answer yet. And Ben wouldn't say a single word, right? Okay? He's just going to stand there, but he got a very important role to play, okay? And assuming that I'm Jesus, just for this moment, yeah? Okay.
Teacher, we know that you are a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. But you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth.
Okay, wait. Any problem or not? The follow-up statement that made by Jeremy just now. Is there any issue with that? No, right? Look at him, good guy, right? Quite a decent guy. Okay, so we all agree, as a crowd, not an issue. Matthew?
Teacher, is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? Should we pay or shouldn't we?
So sincere, right? I gave you the context already, right? The setting. So, any issue or not? The two questions? No issue, right? Okay, good. So, I got you already. Yeah. Now, you see, sometimes, right, I find the Bible have given you all the context, right? It's so easy. As you read the passage later, you say, I know the answer already. Actually, this two fellow is not sincere one, right? But you would know only after you read the text from the Bible. So if you were the crowd during that time, you won't know. Thank you, guys. So remember Ben, He's doing a very important role. Thank you. Give that a round of applause, please. By the way, Jeremy is my TDDI 2 CG leader. Matthew is my Duya CG leader. I just started oversee this young and dynamic group this year. And Ben was my ex-CG leader for Tropicana 2. Yeah. Okay, let us go to the text for today. But before that, right, may I suggest, whenever we read a story in the Bible, you follow these four steps, this flow. You need to be cognizant about the characters in the story, understand the plot, and then try to catch the narrative tension. You must understand why the writer wrote in such a way, right? And then eventually, ultimately, you need to see the resolution. By that, right, you'll be able to catch the truth very clearly and vividly, and hopefully you will obey and apply the truth. It is the truth applied that would transform us. Okay, let us go to the text, and I'll read from NIV version, Mark chapter 12, verse 13 to 17. Later, they sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to Jesus to catch him in his words. They came to him and said, "Teacher, we know that you are a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are, but you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? Should we pay or shouldn't we?" But Jesus knew their hypocrisy. "Why are you trying to trap me?" he asked. "Bring me a denarius and let me look at it." They brought the coin and he asked them, "Whose image is this and whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then Jesus said to them, "Give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." And they were amazed at him. Remember, this was our end. They were amazed at him. So, you see, just as I say, the Bible gives the answer, right? But if you look at the Bible passage from Luke, from the right-hand side, you will see why I do the role play later. Before that, shall we pray? Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this day that you have made. Thank you for your word. Your word is the truth which gives life and sets us free. Teach us not only to know your truth, but to apply it according to your will and good purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, who are the character in this text of today? Pharisees, correct. Who else? Herodians. Who else? Jesus, correct. Who else? The crowd, all of you, right? Who else? No, Caesar not there. Caesar is at home. Okay, I give you the answer, okay? As you can see here, later they sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to Jesus. Who are the they? They sent. Who are the they? You just need to look one verse before that. Verse 12, right? Then the chief priests and the teacher of the law and the elders look for a way to arrest him. So they are chief priests, teacher of the law, and the elders. Okay? Because he knew he had spoken the parable against them, but they were afraid of the crowd of you. People power, they're afraid. People power, right? So that's why they left him and went away. Now we are clear, right? The context, right? So there, so we have all the answer there. Basically, Pharisee, Herodian, Jesus. There, the crowd, right? But there's one more character, which is not mentioned in the text. It's the disciples. Of course, right, the disciple, some of them should be there. How would we get this story, right? Yeah, so the disciple. Now you see, why I put a bracket there, spies? Why just now Jeremy and Matthew spoke in such a sincere, authentic manner, right? Actually, there were spies. Where do I get it from? From Luke. Okay, if you are a spy, you wouldn't let people know you're a spy, right? So basically, that is the character that we are talking about. And Ben, guess what? Who is Ben? Herodian. Because I put Ben there, just symbolically, Ben is part of that. Hey, this is very important, Ram, you must remember, okay? Otherwise, you lose the meaning of the text today. So I have two Pharisees, one Herodian, unfortunately. One is on MC today. Supposed to have two, okay? So that is the character. Now, what is the plot? As you look at the text, right, the plot... But before I go there, so you see the issue is this. The plot came from the top. They want to trap Jesus, right? Came from all the way from the top, the Jewish leadership. I'm not sure whether you know that naturally, Pharisees and Herodians, they don't see eye to eyes. Okay? According to the commentator, he says that Pharisees are religious focused, while Herodians are politically oriented. According to the commentary, the Herodians were Jewish supporters of the king, Herod, and his family. They often favored compromises between their Judaism and Hellenistic influence of the day. This often brought them into conflicts with the Pharisees. The Pharisees thought such compromise with foreign influences were sinful. Okay? With the rise of Jesus' influence and popularity among the crowd, you all, these two conflicting parties, right, now come together to protect their position, their power, and their interests. Remember, there's a saying, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, right? So now they have a common enemy, which is Jesus, right? Now, the first questions, let's pause for a moment. You need to follow me to do some reflection. Otherwise, this sermon is of no use to you. Okay? So the first thing is, would I compromise my belief, value, or stand in the truth just to guard what is dear to me? Would I be like the Pharisee or the Herodians, that I compromise just to guard what is dear to me? For those who are in leadership position, like me included, when I'm in the leadership position, would I abuse my power and position and devise wicked scheme to accomplish my goals and objective? This thing came from the top, right? So I leave that with you. Now let's look to the plot. Just now, as we all agreed, that four statements and also two questions asked by Jeremy and Matthew, we are okay with it, right? But what is the underlying motive? Is to trap Jesus and to arrest Jesus, okay? Now, let me ask you this. What kind of person is the scariest to you? For me, it's Jeremy, you know? Jeremy just now. Why? He's so sincere, right? He's talking about the truth. Nothing wrong with that, right? Actually, whatever he says is true, especially towards the Pharisees. So for me, right, reflection, again, the scariest person is the one who is telling the truth, yes, manipulate it to his advantage. Have you ever done that before? You ask my wife, I had lah. Huh? Okay? Seriously. The second thing is, what is the scariest questions that you have ever received or ever asked? Right? So for me, it's the one being asked outwardly sincere, yet inwardly with ulterior motive, right? You look at Matthew, he's so sincere just now. Should we pay or not? Should or shouldn't we? You guys are all under oppressed. Should we pay? Deep down, you might say, good question, Matthew. You asked the good question as a crowd. I wanted to ask long ago, right? But their motive is they are spies with the intention to trap and arrest Jesus. So, let us switch the role. Have you ever been asked of these kind of questions? Yes, this time my wife asked me one. She asks me sometimes, hey, do you miss me or not? If I answer no, I'm in trouble. If I answer yes too quickly, I'm also in trouble. Because she say, I never thought through. Never thought through. So after reading from this text, I become wiser. Now I know how to answer her already. I'll give you the answer later, okay? If I still got time. Okay? So you get it, right? So this is the context. Now let's go to the narrative tension. It's tough, huh? This passage, you really want to understand the gist of it. So they ask, should we pay tax or not? By the way, we all Malaysians ask this question a lot of times. So the tension is, if Jesus say no, Jesus would be arrested or executed. If Jesus do that, then he will no longer be the threat to the Jewish leadership. Okay? If he say yes, you guys might not be happy with him. The crowd might not support him anymore. And Jesus would lose his influence or popularity. Okay? So, what is the resolution to this? You see, the Pharisee, right, think that they have caught Jesus. No way. If I were the disciple during that time, right, remember I said there's a disciple character there? I also don't know how to answer these questions, you know. But praise be to God. The one that is greater than King Solomon was there. And he is infinitely wiser than King Solomon. So how did Jesus answer? What is Jesus' answer? Okay. So Jesus didn't answer actually, right? Jesus was very shrewd. He asked them for a denarius, right? And he would take a look. Take a look. Who was carrying the coin? The Pharisee and all the Herodians. From the coin, Jesus asked two questions. So they asked, Matthew asked two questions, right? Then Jesus asked two questions. Basically, Jesus is questioning the questioner, right? He asked two questions. What are the two questions? Whose image is this? And whose inscription? And only after he received an answer from them, he answered them back. Right? So what was the answer Jesus received? Caesar's. That's all right? Caesar's. But Jesus didn't stop there. Actually, Jesus' answer is not a straight yes or no. Jesus' answer is yes and. That's how Jesus answered. Yes, and yes, the part is give back to Caesar what is Caesar's. Give back to God what is God. That is Jesus' answer. You see, yes, because Jesus brilliantly responded by saying, give to Caesar. Why Caesar? Because since the coin is minted by the Roman government, give it back what belongs to them. Submit to the Roman government that God in his sovereignty has instituted to govern the land during the time. If there's one thing you need to remember when you read the book of Daniel is this, that the Most High God in his sovereignty is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and sets over them anyone he wishes. So actually it is the Lord in his sovereignty have set Roman government to govern the land during that time. So give it back to them, okay? But Jesus didn't stop there. Jesus told the Pharisee, the spies, right? They say, give back to God what is God. Did Pharisee give back to God what is God? Did Pharisee give back to God what is God? I'm sure you know, no, right? But what are they supposed to give back? I'm sure they know that they were made in the image of God. They belong to God and should give God the glory that's due to him. I'm sure they know the Shema. Hear, O Israel. The Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Did they live a life according to God's will and purpose, handling His truth and guiding the people to the right path? Did the Bible say that after hearing Jesus' response, they asked deeper questions, who this Jesus was, and in turn repented and became a disciple? No, they didn't. They were just amazed by Jesus' answer, right, just now? The last word, they were amazed at Him. That's about it. In fact, in the Bible, there were only two Pharisees followed Jesus. Who are they? Sorry, I asked you a lot of questions because this is important. So one is Nicodemus, right? The second one is Joseph of Arimathea. Yeah? As you continue to read the Bible from this event until the point where Jesus was crucified, the Jewish leader not only did not repent, but intensified their scheme and resort to get their people to give false testimony about Jesus. And eventually they themselves lie. The Jewish leader there themselves lie, you know. They accuse Jesus, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Messiah, a king." In Luke chapter 23, verse 1 to 2. They lie. They're desperate already. Desperado, right? So not only did they not repent, but they lie. You see, when a man's heart is hardened, he can do things even he himself might not have imagined. And that includes us. Okay? So give back to God what belongs to God. Now, application. From the text that I just shared, right, you will realize that knowing the truth and obeying the truth are two different things. Okay? I always use this quote: the longest bridge that can ever exist in mankind is between the head and the heart. Okay? Using our head to hear, to read, to know the truth is not enough. Directing our heart to obey the truth is what counts. Okay? But we all also know our heart is deceitful above all things. Pastor Alexa talked about blinded, right? Are we blinded at times? I think the Pharisee, I would say yes, 100% yes. But why is that so? Because they couldn't see. They are too concerned about their position, their power, their influence, and they couldn't see. Yet, God is greater than our heart. Praise be to God. In 1 John, it says, God is greater than our heart. So you see, without the Holy Spirit help, we won't be able to obey the truth. Our own selfish interests and sinful desires will desensitize our ability to know the truth and therefore impede us from obeying it, without us even realizing it. Very subtle. Okay? It is therefore very important to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal any offensive ways in us in which we are against the truth, so that we can change before it is too late. There was a Pharisee in the Bible who was doing the wrong things passionately without himself knowing it. Who was the Pharisee? Paul, yes. Saul or Paul, right? He was spiritually blinded and persecuting the church zealously. God, in His mercy and through the power of His Spirit, intervened in Paul's life at the road of Damascus. Praise be to God that Paul repented and became one of the most influential apostles in the kingdom of God. So for us, remember to periodically ask the Holy Spirit to check the condition of our hearts and be willing to turn from any ungodly ways and turn to the godly ones. Okay? Now the third one is, I find that we can either magnify God in His image or reduce God into our own image. Okay? Just like the coin belonged to Caesar, as his government minted it, you, me, belong to God as He has created us. We are the bearer of God's image. But for us as Christians, we are much more than that. We are also Christ's ambassador. Why do I say that? Because not only God has created us, He has also redeemed us through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. We were dead in our transgression, but now through grace, we are made alive in Christ. We were bought with a price, which is the blood of Jesus. That's why I say we are also Christ's ambassador. In short, we should magnify God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, with our whole being, time, talent, resources, and money. And we should act and behave according to His will so that when people see us, the image of God, they will magnify Christ in us. That's the ultimate. Glorify God with your body. Don't be like the Pharisees who reduce God to their own image, which is whatever idol that was in their heart. It could be power, it could be position or money, and in fact, they might be thinking they were doing God's service by killing Jesus. So, a word of warning for us all, don't reduce God to serve our own image, idol, sinful desire, or agenda. Okay? Now, the last one, I want to spend a bit more time on this application. Whose are you is equally important to who are you. Okay? What do I mean by that? Because Jesus said, give back to God what is God. So whose are you? You are His, right? You were bought at a price, as I say. And you cannot earn your own salvation. And if you are His, you are no longer your own. That's why the Bible says we are slaves of Christ. We are prisoner of Christ. We are no longer our own. So you should devote your whole being and surrender to Him. Non-negotiable. But you might say, Lord, how can I surrender myself fully? How can I tie to the church as I already don't have enough for my expenses? How can I share the gospel with my friends as I'm not fluent in speech? How can I spend time with you every day as I don't even have time to rest? Right? Actually, I don't have the answer for you. But one thing I know, the object you need to surrender is God. And our God, our Abba Father, is not a slave driver. Right? He is love, He is gracious, He is gentle and patient with us. And He will not test us beyond what we can bear. So if we keep focusing on what we need to give back to God, what is God, right? You might also lose the zeal to persevere in the discipleship journey with the Lord. Give, right? Give, right? But there's just one side of the coin. Actually, God don't need your money, don't need your time. What's the other side of the coin? He asks you to give so that you will receive something from Him, right? He always gives us the commandment to follow is for our good, not for His. So if I stop here, give to God what is God, then it doesn't do justice to God's word. So the second part, what is the received part? So you need to focus on this thing. I give you an example, right? I bring this tawny little massage ball, okay? The hand is my will, okay? This is my spiritual state. See so many tawny edges, so sinful, I'm so sinful. Maybe you guys got less of these edges, sharp edges, okay? But if I hold on to what I want in my life, you see I'm holding on to my will, right? How can I let go? How can I let God, who has got his intended life for us, right? How can he transform us to be more like Jesus? We can't, right? So we need to give by letting go and let God to give you an abundant life, right? So, but you can say, oh, you thought it's very easy, very easy. That's why to change our will, right? We are holding on something. You must renew your mind. And to renew your mind, you need to have the Word of God to renew your mindset, value, and belief system. Okay? So, I just want to use one example. Because I work in the bank, right? Let me talk about financial. It's easier for all of us to understand. We all need money, right? Okay. I need money. So, come back to how can I... This is just one example. I'm not saying the passage is talking about tithing. I'm just giving you this example. How can I give to church as I already don't have enough of my daily expenses? And the word teaches us now, buy now, pay later. You heard of it or not? Instant gratification. Buy now, pay later. Okay? But the Bible teaches us to tithe first, save, then we save, right? Then only we spend. Delay gratification. So the word say, buy now, pay later. Bible say, hey, delay a bit. Do you think God is withholding something good from you? Especially for the young people, I know life is tough. Obviously not. Because he knows instant gratification will do you more harm than good. As I say, he doesn't need your money. Right? He can see the impact on a longer horizon than we do. Right? So I know a couple who had 20 years ago borrow unsecured loan from their credit card to renovate their house. Okay? They thought of giving a very comfortable home to the family, to the children. But sad to say that until today, they are still paying that same loan and still owe the bank a substantial amount of money. Right? And now they are filing for divorce. Because when you have financial difficulties, right, inherently you will create a lot of stress in the family, in the system. So then you may say that, hey, Chivai, but you have not experienced financial difficulties. You just talk only. You haven't experienced it, but what do you know about no money? Actually, that's not true, no? I'm not sure whether you all, for those of you who might know me, actually, in 2004, at one point, I have only less than 1 month rental in my saving account. Kara and I moved out from my mom's house, and we all rented a place in Tropicana, Casa Tropicana 2 in PJ. But something happened that we did not have enough. And, you know, being a banker, I think of a way to solve this problem. At the time, I was a young Christian. I was a six-month-old Christian. I came to know the Lord in 2004, July. And on the New Year Eve, actually, I told my wife, right, hey, we've got a problem. We don't have enough. Okay? So the first thing I thought of is, I negotiated with God. Can I don't tithe first? Number two, I say, God, I don't tithe first. Next time I got my bonus, I pay you back. Okay? Very logical, right? It's okay, God don't need my money. Number two, I say, but that also not enough because our new apartment, right, will be ready only in July 2005. But I got only 1 month, less than 1 month, right? So then I thought, it's okay, I can get a unsecured loan in the credit card, lah. If need be, right, I just roll on my card first. Okay, logical, right? Third, you still cannot borrow a staff loan or borrow from somebody, lah. Right, just 6 months only. Okay? But somehow or other, being a young Christian, right, I think God's mercy was on me, and I did not have the peace. I know this will solve my problem, but I'm living on debts, right, actually. Right? Then I talked to my wife. God impressed upon my heart, go back to stay with your mom. Go back to stay with my mom. And the second part is make peace with her. Okay? So in order this to take place, right, actually three things need to come, the star needs to align. Number one, my wife needs to agree. Okay? Number two, the landlord needs to agree. Because I need to break the contract early and live on the security deposit. No more money, really no more money. Number three, like Alexa said, my mom needs to agree. Okay? So I told the Lord, I trust you. I saw you how you deliver my family from all the trouble, even though it was only 6 months, no Christian. So I say, I will still tie. Even though it's not a lot of money, I will still tie, but it's a lot of money for us during that time. I will still tie, but Lord, you just help me to solve all these three things. So I talked to my wife, she agreed. I told the truth to the landlord, she also agreed. Told the truth. You know, sometimes you want to, you know, sugarcoat something, right? But I didn't. So the Lord resolved this for me. And lastly, I talked to my late mom. She also agreed. But we need to take the humble pie. There is always a solution. There's always a solution. I could have gone on the other route. Still saved the people. But I know, actually, God want me to give myself to him and trust him because he is imparting his kingdom value in me. So that in future, I will not always think of, hey, got problem, I draw from some unseen, undrawn limit to solve the problem. No. He is transforming me so that I can live a content and a blessed life in his presence. I can tell you, if I didn't allow him to do this surgical work in my life, the TY you see today might not be the TY. Very honestly tell you, right? I still remember when I was driving a second-hand Proton Saga, my son is driving a BM, driving a Toyota Altis. But I also puzzled as I preached this passage, right? Actually, how much the Lord has worked in my life until today. Yeah. So I just want to leave that with you. And in the Bible, Jesus say, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So what will you receive when you give yourself and take Jesus' yoke upon you? You keep thinking, give, right? Surrender. So actually, you will receive. But find rest for your soul. Find rest for your soul. So don't just focus on what you have to give. Trust the Lord and you will receive something the world cannot give. When you surrender to Him, you will experience the peace, the joy the world cannot give. You will live in His presence and experience the abundant life that the Lord has intended for you. And above all, you will live a more purposeful life that would bless those around you and leave an eternal impact to His kingdom as you reflect Christ's image in your life. So when you are able to grasp this truth, your walk with the Lord will never be the same again. Why? because it is for the Lord to prove His faithfulness towards you, just as He did in my life. I'm not asking you to test Him unnecessarily. I'm just saying that when you do that, right, the Lord say He is faithful all the time, right? And He will keep His promises as you do His will. When you pray like Isaiah to surrender yourself to the Lord and ask Him to use you for His glory, it is up to Him now to provide you with whatever you need. When you pray like Jesus, not my will, but yours be done, I believe God will give you the strength to overcome whatever obstacle in front of you so that God might be glorified through you. You are His, and He will see you through the seasons. Shall we pray? Father, whose are we? We are yours. We were fearfully and wonderfully made by you, Lord. We were redeemed by the blood of Christ. Help us to give you what is yours, which is ourselves, our whole being. When we do that, Lord, may the world see Christ in us so that you would be glorified and your name would be magnified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope that you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons. Love God, love people, and make disciples.